Well, praise the Lord. Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to Psalm 100. Psalm 100, we're going to be reading from verses 4 and 5. It's been our main text the last couple weeks. But here in Psalm 100, verse 4 and 5, it reads, "Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courtyards with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name, for the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his faithfulness is to all generations." That's the New American Standard. The last 2 weeks, we've looked at the first two things listed here that we can and should be thankful for. The first week, we looked at the goodness of God. We can give thanks because God is the source of all good. Everything that he created was very good. He gives every good and perfect gift. God is the great giver. And we were created as receivers. And as we looked at, God takes pleasure in giving. And then last week, we looked at the fact that his mercy is everlasting. The mercy of God is deeper than the depths of his wrath or his indignation. God loves to be merciful. He's more inclined to mercy than he is to wrath. Praise God for that. And God's mercy means we're not treated as our sins deserve. God's mercy means we can be forgiven. In his infinite mercy, he never gives up on us. Even though we may be hard-headed, hard-hearted, or maybe we've even given up on ourselves, God never gives up on us. Hallelujah. Those are things we can be thankful for. Amen. Well, this morning we're going to look at the third thing that we can and should be thankful for that we find here in our main text. And that is that his faithfulness is to all generations. Now, the King James, I believe, says his truth to all generations. This word is the word immuna, and it literally means a firmness. Figuratively, it means security. Morally, it means fidelity. And it's used 49 times in the Old Testament, translated in several different ways. Merriam-Webster defines faithful as being steadfast in affection or allegiance. Or loyal. Firm in adherence to promises or in observance to duty. Conscientious. Given with a strong assurance that he's bound or binding to whatever you say. And true to facts or true to a standard. It's used in the Old Testament to convey different thoughts. Much like the definition that we just read. Turn with me, if you would, to Deuteronomy chapter 32. We're going to look at a few scriptures here that show that it's used differently. It's the same word. It's just translated differently. It's conveying a different thought. Here in Deuteronomy 32, these are all the King James Version. It says, "He is the rock. His work is perfect. For all his ways are judgment. A God of truth. And without inequity. Just and right is he." Praise the Lord. Psalm 36:5. Psalm 36:5. So he's a God of truth. A God of truth. He's true to his word. Amen. Psalm 36:5 says, "Thy mercy, O Lord, is in the heavens, and thy faithfulness reacheth unto the clouds." That was Psalm 36:5. Turn to 2 Chronicles 31. 2 Chronicles 31. The word is used in a different way here, a different translation. 2 Chronicles 31:18. It says, in the genealogy of all their little ones, their wives and their sons and their daughters, through all the congregation, for in their set office, that word that's translated set office is the word emunah here, they sanctified themselves in holiness. Isaiah 33:6 says, and wisdom and knowledge shall be the stability, same word, translated differently, of thy times and strength of salvation, the fear of the Lord is his treasure. And finally, 2 Kings chapter 12, verse 15 says, moreover, they reckoned not with the men into whose hands they delivered the money to be bestowed on workmen, for they dealt faithfully. Now, here in 2 Kings, if you look at this, these men were responsible for supervising the repairing of the temple. And the word says that they were considered to be so conscientious, so trustworthy, and so honest that there was no requirement for them to keep ledgers about the amount of money that came in or the amount of money that went out and where it went to. You wouldn't have that today. Amen. I mean, that speaks a lot to their character. That's the same word that it talks about, that God is faithful. These men were so faithful. They were so honest. They had the highest integrity. They were trusted implicitly. People were like, eh, we trust you. We trust you to take the money. We don't want you to tell us how much came in. We don't want you to tell us how much went out, what you paid to those carpenters, what you paid to those stonemasons. We trust you. Wow. I mean that speaks highly of these individuals. Amen. But that's the thought when we think about God our Father, that he can be trusted implicitly. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at Exodus chapter 17. Exodus chapter 17. I don't know about you, but there's very few people that I would trust in that way. Amen? Very few people. Exodus 17:12. Exodus 17:12. This is when the nation of Israel had come out of Egypt and the Amalekites came up to fight against them. And Moses sent Joshua out to lead Israel out to fight against the Amalekites. And here in verse 17, or chapter 17, verse 12, it says, and Moses' hands were heavy, so they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat on it. And Aaron and Hur supported his hands on one side, or one on one side and one on the other. So his hands were steady until the sun set. Now the word steady here is the same word as emunah. It's the same word translated faithful as truth. It's translated as steady. It conveys the idea, as we peel back all these layers about God's character, it tells us that God isn't only faithful, he's not only truthful, he's not only has integrity, but he's steady. Amen. He's something that is reliable. He's unmovable. The Word of God calls him our rock. Amen. Look at Psalm 62. Psalm 62. Our God is faithful. Aren't you thankful this morning that you have a God who has the highest integrity? He can be trusted to do what He says He's going to do. He's not going to change. You're not going to get up today and wonder if God's different today than He was yesterday. Right? Psalm 62, verse 1, says, "My soul waits in silence for God alone. For Him is my salvation. He is my rock. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. How long will you assail me, a man, that you may murder him, all of you, like a leaning wall, like a tottering fence? They have counseled only to thrust him down from his high position. They delight in falsehood. They bless with their mouth, but inwardly they curse. My soul wait in silence for God only, for my hope is from Him. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be shaken. On God my salvation and my glory rest, the rock of my strength. My refuge is in God. Trust in Him at all times, O people. Pour out your heart before Him. God is a refuge for us."
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our God is a refuge to us. He's a rock. Amen. He doesn't change. He doesn't move. We can be thankful for the fact that our God cannot be moved. His word cannot be shaken. He's the same today as He was when this psalm was written. Even though you may be experiencing some rough times right now, and maybe some things have tried to knock you off your feet, trying to get you to feel wobbly and afraid that you're going to fail. Maybe like Moses, you become weary in the battle. You just need to remind yourself that God is always by your side. And just like Aaron and Hur were there to support Moses and to support his arms until the battle was over and steadied him, until the victory was won. Your Father is the same with His children. He's ready to give you whatever help you need, whatever help we need to accomplish the purpose He has for our life. He's steady. How many of you like people that you can't really know what their reaction is going to be from one day to the next? Hey, you don't like people like that. We like to work around people like that. Amen? Might call them schizophrenic. Or they got all kinds of names for them now, but they're never the same. One day they may be up and all happy and all, they're your best friend, and the next day they're mean and they're nasty and they're angry and you don't know why. So you just avoid them. And after a while, you just avoid them altogether. You try to stay out of their way because you don't know what they're going to be like that day. Aren't you glad our God isn't like that? Amen? Maybe we're even like that. Don't shake your head and agree. Right? We've got a God who is there for us. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, "And the Lord is the one who is going ahead of you. He will be with you. He will not desert you or abandon you. Do not fear and do not be dismayed." Amen. He will never leave you nor forsake you. He is your rock. Hallelujah. There's another way. And another thought is communicated about God concerning His faithfulness. Look at Deuteronomy chapter 7. Deuteronomy chapter 7. Praise the Lord. Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 9, it says, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations." Hallelujah. Psalm 119:90 says, "Thy faithfulness is to all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth." One way that God demonstrates his faithfulness, his steadiness, this stability, is through all generations. The promise that was true to your great-grandfather was true to your grandfather. And if it was true to your grandfather, it was true to your father. And it was true in your father's time, it's true in your time. And if it's true in your time, it's true in your children's time. And then it'll be true in your grandchildren's time. And it'll be true in your great-grandchildren's time if the Lord tarries. He's faithful to his word. From generation to generation, he's faithful to carry out his word the same today as he was yesterday.
Amen.
Amen. If God said it, he will do it. What he said in his word, when it was written, it's still as much in effect as it was when it was written. He's faithful to his word through all generations. Oh, this stuff's outdated. No, it's not. It's still just as true today as it was when it was written. When God, through the Holy Spirit, led men to write down what is written here, it's just as true today.
Amen.
And you can trust God to fulfill it. Amen. Psalm 143. Praise the Lord. Psalm 143. Psalm 143. Verse 1. "Hear my prayer, O Lord, give ear to my supplications. Answer me in thy faithfulness and in thy righteousness." Praise the Lord. You can go to him in confidence in your prayers. Ask him for what you need. And you, if you pray according to his word, the word says that you will have the petitions that you requested of him. Amen. And just do it. Just trust him. Just believe it. Graham Cook said this: "God cannot change. He cannot be anything other than who he is. Out of his love and his promises, you were selected as his treasure. God's faithfulness has been the bedrock of his dealings with humanity throughout time." Praise the Lord. We've seen this morning downstairs that a deliverer was promised in the Garden of Eden. Someone was coming. Amen?
Amen.
God kept his promise.
Amen.
God kept his covenant. Praise the Lord. You know, as I was talking to Kim as we came upstairs, and I said, you know, it's neat as you look at, as she was sharing all the genealogies and things, when you look in the book of Luke, in the genealogy of Mary, it goes all the way back to Adam. Amen? The seed of the woman. In Matthew, it only goes back to Abraham, the sons of the promise. Amen? It went from from David backwards, it's all the same. But from David forward, it changes with Nathan and Solomon. It splits. But it's always interesting that with the seed of the woman, the promise that God made to Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, when the angel came and told Mary that she was going to have a baby, and when it shares that genealogy, it goes all the way back to Adam. Amen. Amen. And Eve. Praise the Lord. That through the woman was coming the deliverer. God is faithful to his word. Yes. It might take a while. Hopefully it doesn't take a few thousand years like it did then. Amen. But in your case, amen. But you can relate to that and see that God is faithful. He's faithful to his word. We just got to get ourselves in agreement with his word. Do you trust his word? Psalm 33:4 says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all his work is done in faithfulness." Yes. Hallelujah. God has a track record that you can follow. He always has been and always will be faithful. You can count on God to do what he says he's going to do. God made promises to Abraham concerning having many descendants, having descendants as many as the stars of the heavens. Even though Abraham and Sarah were very old and they had no children, God was faithful. Amen? When you go through the Bible, you read time and time again that God kept his promise. You can see it. Look at Joshua chapter 23. Joshua 23. Doesn't matter if you find it a little incredulous at first, but God couldn't possibly do that. Abraham and Sarah, they, even though God told them it was going to happen, they weren't totally sold out of faith at first. Amen? They changed. Over time, they changed. Something happened to them. Amen? God was faithful to them. Here in Joshua chapter 23, verse 14, this is Joshua speaking. The New American Standard reads, "Now behold, today I am going the way of all the earth, and you know in all your hearts and in all your souls that not one word of all the good words which the Lord your God spoke concerning you has failed. They have all been fulfilled for you. Not one of them has failed." Praise the Lord. We want to say, well, I just don't know about God being faithful. Well, look at the examples that we find in the Word. Time and time again, God's made promises to people. God made covenants with people. And he kept those covenants. When people removed themselves, they tried to get out of the covenant, but God was always faithful to the covenant. You read time and time again in the Old Testament where God remembered the covenant that he had made with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And so he came to the rescue of the children of Israel because God's faithful to his word. Amen? It says, not one of them has failed. Praise the Lord. Look at 2 Chronicles chapter 6. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. The Lord keeps his word. He's of the highest integrity. We can be thankful for that. 2 Chronicles chapter 6. These are just a few examples. of God keeping His word. The Old Testament is full of examples of God keeping His word. 2 Chronicles chapter 6, verse 3 says, "Then the king turned around and blessed all the assembly of Israel while all the assembly of Israel was standing. He said, 'Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who spoke with His mouth to my father David and fulfilled it with His hand, saying, since the day that I brought my people from the land of Egypt, I did not choose a city out of all the tribes of Israel in which to build a house, so that my name might be there, nor did I choose a man to be the leader of my people Israel. But I have chosen Jerusalem so that my name might be there, and I have chosen David to be over my people Israel. Now it was in the heart of my father David to build a house for the name of the Lord, the God of Israel. But the Lord said to my father David, because it was in your heart to build a house for my name, you did well that it was in your heart. Nevertheless, you shall not build the house, but your son who will be born to you, he shall build the house for my name. Now, verse 10, the Lord has fulfilled his word which he spoke, for I have risen in place of my father David and sit on the throne as of Israel as the Lord promised, and have built the house for the name of the Lord God, the God of Israel, just as God said was going to happen. Hallelujah. You can find all kinds of examples of God's faithfulness and His trustworthiness. It's central to who God is. As we've been talking about these spiritual principles that we can apply, the goodness of God, the mercy of God, the faithfulness of God. Amen? They're all things that are spiritually discerned. They're all for us. Amen? Hallelujah. God is truthful. He's faithful to His word. In the New Testament, if you would turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1, the main Greek word used for God's faithfulness in the New Testament is the word pistos. It's used to describe people, statements, and God. It means to be trustworthy, to be trustful, to be sure, to be true. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful through whom you were called into fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Praise the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Says, but the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil. Hallelujah. The Lord is faithful. The New American Standard reads, but the Lord is faithful and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Amen. Praise the Lord. As we looked at this morning in the book of Matthew, God gave a promise to Mary and Joseph that they were going to have a son. Look at Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1. Verse 21. Matthew 20 or 1:21. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place that was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with a child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph rose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as a wife and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son and called his name Jesus. The Lord said in prophecy that a virgin was going to be with child, going to bear a son, going to call his name Emmanuel, God with us, and it happened. Amen? He told Mary, he told Joseph that it was going to take place, and it happened. As we touched on last week, the revealing of God's nature throughout his word is progressive. The thing is, we don't know him in all of his goodness and his mercy until we come to the New Testament. When Jesus Christ appeared, we seen him in fuller measure. Amen? God has always been and always will be a God of mercy and of goodness. It's exactly the same way with faithfulness. We don't know him and the depths of his faithfulness until the appearance of Jesus Christ. And that's where it was most clearly revealed, through the person of Jesus. His character and his ultimate reliability personifies to us what it means to be faithful. Jesus came to do the Father's will. He faithfully carried out what God had planned for him to do. We see that throughout the Gospels. Look at Revelation chapter 1. Revelation chapter 1, 5 and 6. Revelation 1, 5 and 6 says, "From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn of the dead, the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he made us into a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and dominion forever and ever." The faithful witness. It's the word pistos to describe Jesus. True and steady. Revelation 3:14. Revelation 3:14 says, "To the angel of the church in Laodicea write, the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the origin of the creation of God, says this." He's the faithful and true witness. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Everything that Jesus did pointed people to the Father. Amen. Everything that Jesus accomplished was in the plan of God. It was foretold by God. God said, this is going to happen. And it did happen. Amen. Time and time again throughout the Word of God, we see prophecies foretelling what Jesus was going to do, what his suffering was going to look like, where he was going to be born, all that, how he was going to be born. Amen. All throughout the Word of God, we see the promises of God. In Revelation 19:11, it says, "And I saw heaven open, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it is called Faithful and True. And in righteousness he judges and wages war." Someday, everybody's going to see Jesus as the Faithful One. Amen? Praise the Lord. This morning, I want to ask you a question, though. What if you could not trust God to do what he said he's going to do? But don't we actually do that sometimes? I mean, when we think about that, we say, well, I would never do that. Certainly God's going to do what he says he's going to do. But do we always act like that? Do we always wholeheartedly agree that yes, God is faithful? As we've seen downstairs, Zacharias, he'd been praying for things. He'd been seeking after God, him and his wife, for a baby. And when he was told it was going to happen, he's like, well, how can I know for sure? Right? How can you know for sure? You've got the word of the Lord delivered to an angel directly from the throne room of God. He said, I came to tell you. Right? And he didn't believe it. How many times do we read the word? We're like, that might be good for somebody else. Amen? We say, well, I would never not trust God. But we do. Let's just be honest. Many people act just like that. There's people that go to church. There's people that go to church and they hope they're saved. You shouldn't hope you're going to be saved. You should know you're going to be saved. Well, how do I know? Because I did what the Word said. Right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. Did you do that? Do you believe that Jesus came and that Jesus lived a sinless life and that he was beaten and he was tortured basically and that he was hung on a cross and he died? And he was buried. But on the third day he rose again. And he sits at the right hand of the Father. Do you believe all that? Yes, I do. Did you confess that? Yes, I did. Guess what? You're saved. Amen? Because if you don't believe that, then you're not trusting what the Word says. Because you can't just go on circumstances. You can't go on feelings. You have to trust in the Word. If that's what God's Word says, then it should be settled in your heart. Amen? But there's always people who want to hold back a little bit. I don't know if I can trust God all the way. Has he failed you yet? He sang that song. Hasn't failed us yet. Amen? He's the way maker. He's the promise keeper. Hallelujah. He's the miracle worker. And a lot of times people fail to trust God all the way because they fear being disappointed. They're afraid they can't trust God to actually do what he says he's going to do. And why is that? Because they've been let down in their lives so many times by the people around them who never keep their word. You ever known anybody like that? You could trust them about as far as you could throw them. Right? You don't want to deal with people like that. You don't. People look at the lack of faithfulness in people. They look at the lack of faithfulness in their lives. They look at the lack of faithfulness in the news, in their workplace, in the government. That's a big one right there, right? Politicians. They promise everything to everyone and have delivered very little or nothing at all. It has nothing to do which party they belong to. It has everything to do with the fact they're not faithful to their word. They make promises that get them elected, and as soon as they've secured the votes, they start making excuses as to why they can't accomplish what they promised they were going to do. And people translate that and project that onto God. People in your life have disappointed you. Maybe it's your parents. Maybe it was your spouse. Whoever it may be. They weren't faithful to their word. They weren't faithful to you. And you take all that and you project it onto God. Well, I'm here to tell you today that God is faithful. Doesn't matter what people in the world are like. It doesn't matter what your experiences have been like. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are like. God is always faithful to His Word. Look at Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. And people, a lot of times, people don't do that intentionally. It's just a subconscious thing. That's why you need to renew your mind to the Word of God. You need to change the way that you think about things. You need to change the way that you see yourself in relation to God. You need to change what you think about God. Amen? You can be thankful. Thankful that He's good. Thankful that He's merciful. Thankful that He's faithful and He's true. Amen? Hallelujah. Romans chapter 3, verse 3, the Amplified Version says, "What if some did not believe and were without faith? Does their lack of faith and their faithlessness nullify and make ineffective and void the faithfulness of God and His fidelity to His Word? By no means. Let God be found true, though every human being is false and a liar, as it is written, that you may be justified and shown to be upright in what you say and prevail when you are judged by sinful men." Doesn't matter what people are like. It doesn't matter your experiences. Just because people aren't faithful doesn't mean that God isn't faithful. He is faithful to His Word. The New Living Translation version says, "True, some of them were unfaithful, but just because they broke their promises, does that mean that God will break His promises? Of course not." I like how that. Don't be ridiculous. Really? God's not going to fail. God's not going to go back on His Word. That's what His Word says. We can have the utmost confidence. We can be thankful that when we go into pray, when we seek after God, when we read in His Word, that He will do this. If we do that, we can trust Him that He's going to do it. Praise the Lord. It's true. If people knew for sure with 100% certainty that God would do what He said He would do for them, there wouldn't be anybody turning down. You'd be a fool to turn down what God offers us in here. Amen? But people don't know. They don't know that God can be trusted. They've never experienced that. So we have to communicate that to them. We've got to encourage them. We've got to take that message. We can be thankful. Hey, our God is good. Our God is merciful. Amen? Our God can be trusted. When we go to our Thanksgiving meals this week and we celebrate with family, maybe there's somebody in our family that needs to hear a word that our God is faithful. Our God is truthful. That our God is the rock. Your life may be all kinds of getting rocked by waves and everything else, but God is your rock and He will steady the boat. Amen? Remember in the Gospels where they're going across the Sea of Galilee and the boat's getting tossed and turned and everything's crazy. And as soon as Jesus gets on the boat, calm. You let Jesus on your boat, He'll bring calmness, He'll bring peace, He'll bring steadiness. No matter what situation you're in, you just got to trust Him. Let him in. Invite him in. Ooh. Don't be afraid like they were at first. We got to let Jesus in. And this morning, just want to reiterate that we can be thankful that He is faithful. Amen. Faithful to His Word. He's never failed me yet. Amen. Praise the Lord. Father God, we thank You and we praise You for Your Word. We thank You that You are faithful to Your Word. We thank You that we can place our trust in You, that we can rely on You, that we can come to You with a 100% confidence that You are faithful to what Your Word says, that You will hasten to perform Your Word on our behalf. Lord, we thank You for that, praise You for that. We give You all the glory for it. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. Amen.